Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 7. And have you ever been in a situation where you felt like it was never going to end? Something was just going on and on. And with the physical things, that's one thing. Things are going to pass. They're going to change. You look back over life, and life is just constant change, one thing to another. We need to understand and accept that, and life will be easier. When we look at the Bible, some people think that everything is going to be the same. It's going to be permanent. It's not going to change. Some things are going to be permanent. Some things are going to change. And we have to understand which ones are going to be permanent and which ones are going to change, or there's going to cause a lot of confusion in the religious world. Sometimes people will bind things today because they think it is permanent when it was something that is temporary. So I want us to consider some things that are just temporary. God never intended them to last. And one of the first ones that comes to mind is the law of Moses. The law of Moses was never intended to be permanent, but people try to bind some of the law of Moses today. We looked at, you don't need to turn to it, but we looked at in class this morning, Matthew 5:17, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." So that old law was going to be fulfilled and then done away with. Now, when we get to Romans chapter 7, notice beginning at verse 1. "Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, although she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God." So the law of Moses was never intended to last forever. It was temporary. And how does Paul illustrate this? He uses the marriage relationship, a husband and wife. When both are living, they are bound one to another. When one dies, the other party is free to marry someone else. If their marriage is in the Lord, it's a lawful marriage. My father and mother were married. That's an easy concept to understand. Now, if my father had gone and married another woman while he was still married to my mother, that would have been unlawful. That would have been adultery. But when my mother died, my father was no longer bound to my mother. My father went and married another woman. We can understand that. It's lawful. A lot of the Jews did not understand that the law was temporary. It was temporary. And if we have a new law which Christ came to establish, then by necessity that old law was done away with. In Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 9, then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first that he may establish the second. "By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." So why did Christ come? He came to take away the first that he may establish the second. Again, when people say we live under the old law, or they try to bind something, they're confused. It was just temporary. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's the law we're living under today. That's why we don't keep the Sabbath. That's why we don't perform a lot of the rituals and things that they did under the old law. It was done away with. It was done away with. It was just temporary. Just temporary. So consider something else that was temporary. The apostles. And some people think that we still have apostles today. And it causes confusion. What does the word apostle mean? It means sent. One sent. It could refer to a letter. It could refer to a ship. It could refer to a person. One that is sent. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." The apostles were ambassadors that Christ sent to teach the word and to reconcile people to God. Now consider this too. The apostles were not meant to last forever. How can we conclude that? Well, think about the qualifications for an apostle. What were the qualifications? In Acts 1, verse 22, "Beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So, qualifications to be an apostle, they had to be with Christ from the beginning of the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up from us. They had to be a witness of the resurrection. And there's one other qualification we usually don't talk about, but along with those two, they had to be chosen by Christ. They had to be chosen by Christ. He called his apostles. There were men that might have followed Christ around from the beginning. There were men that might have seen him ascend, the resurrected Christ, but that did not make them an apostle. Christ had to choose them. And when you go back and you look at when he called them, Christ called them. Well, what about when Judas killed himself and they selected another apostle? Didn't the apostles do that? Weren't they the ones that chose that apostle? Well, when you go back to Acts chapter 1 and you look at verse 24, "And they proposed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, 'You, O Lord, you know the heart of all. Show which one of these two you have chosen.'" So, again, the apostles were chosen by God. People, so you stop and think about the qualifications. People say, "Well, we have apostles today, though." No, we don't. They were temporary. Do you know of anybody that can meet those qualifications today? Any of these young men or older men that call themselves apostles, were they with Christ from the baptism of John through his ministry and saw him resurrected? Were they chosen by God? No. So we can conclude that apostles were just temporary. Even though some people today think we still have apostles, and that's just, it's hard for them to get across. Well, somebody will bring up spiritual gifts. You know we have spiritual gifts today. You know we have miracles today. Do we? No, we don't. No, we don't. Again, you think about how did people get the power to perform miracles? And let's turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, and let's begin reading at verse 14. "Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Now, who was preaching in Samaria at this time? Philip was. Could Philip work miracles? Could he? Well, let's turn back to Acts chapter 6. Philip was one of the seven that was chosen at the church at Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 6, beginning at verse 3, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So notice with this, in the first part of the reading, it says they were full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. It doesn't say whether or not they had the miraculous gifts. But notice, they were set before the apostles, and what did the apostles do? The apostles prayed and laid their hands on them. Now, you look at verse 8. "After the apostles had laid their hands on them, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." How was Stephen able to do great wonders and signs, that which would be miracles, the signs and wonders? How was he able to do that? Well, we just read that the apostles laid their hands on these men, which is how they got the Holy Spirit. So we know Stephen had the Holy Spirit and could work signs and wonders. Did Philip, was he able to do that? Well, if Stephen got it by the apostles laying their hands on him, Philip would have gotten it the same way. And when we go back to Acts chapter 8, and you read at the first part of the chapter, in verse 6, and again, well, we'll start at 4. "Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." So how is Philip? We see Philip was able to perform miracles. How was he able to do it? Because the apostles laid their hands on Philip and the other six in that group of seven. What did Simon notice? Down to verse 17 and 18. "Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money." We have two examples of men where the apostles laid their hands on them and they could perform miracles. Simon saw that it was through the laying on of the apostles' hands that the Spirit was given and they could perform miracles. So then we ask the question, are there any apostles today that can lay their hands on somebody so that that person can perform miracles? There isn't. We see the apostles were temporary. Miracles were temporary also. And what was the purpose of miracles? We learned that in a couple places. If we turn back to Mark chapter 16, Mark chapter 16 and beginning at verse 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. So the purpose of the miracles was to confirm the word. So again, it was temporary. It was only temporary. It wasn't meant to last forever. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 2. "For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him?" Again, the word was confirmed by the miracles. Do we need it confirmed anymore? No, we don't need it proven again. Back to simple math class. 1 + 1 = 2. Do we have to prove that over and over? No, it's proven, it's accepted. 2 + 2 = 4. Do we have to prove that over again? No, it's accepted. So the purpose of the miracles was to confirm the word. The word has been confirmed. We do not need the miracles anymore. The spiritual gifts cease to operate when the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, came into existence. James 1:25, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does." Why is it called the perfect law of liberty? Because it's complete, it's perfect, it's complete, it's proven, it's been revealed, it's been confirmed. So the miracles, when people say that we have miracles today, we should ask them, well, who gave that person the power to perform miracles? Because they can't follow the Bible pattern and come up with that. And what is the purpose of those miracles? And then are you saying that we still don't have a complete revelation? Something else that people get confused on. And turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. Some people misunderstand the reign of Christ. Now, surely Christ is going to reign forever, correct? Well, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 23. "But each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers up the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son of himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all." You see, there is no such thing as an earthly reign of Christ. Christ came to establish his kingdom. He is reigning as king right now. When Christ comes back, he's not going to reign on this earth as king. He's going to take his kingdom and deliver it up to the Father. But some people think there's going to be an earthly reign of Christ on this earth. Again, there's 101 different beliefs and shades of what they believe, where Christ is going to set up his kingdom. But the kingdom was just temporary. He's going to deliver it up. The reign of Christ, the reign of Christ, God never intended him to reign forever. It's until he's put all enemies under his feet, the last enemy will be destroyed is death. And when will that be? That'll be at the judgment when all of us are raised from the graves to live forever. So that brings up another question, because some people will say, well, the earth, it's going to last forever. It's permanent, right? The earth is permanent. Everything that we see, it's going to last forever, unless you listen to those scientists, climate people that think it's going to be destroyed in 10 years or less. We don't know when it's going to be destroyed, but the earth is temporary. It's just temporary. Let's turn to 2 Peter 3 and look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking forward and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. You see, this earth is just temporary. And you have one group of people that think that this earth has existed for billions and billions and billions of years, and another group that says maybe 6,000, 10,000 years. We don't know how long it's going to last, but we know it's not going to last forever. It's just temporary. It's just temporary. And Peter says, therefore, you know, we need to consider what type of people we are because of what is going to happen. And we should not put our hope in things of this world because it's just temporary. Colossians 3, verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, and again, it's not a question, it's since you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Why are we to set our mind on things above? Because this earth's going to be destroyed. We put all of our time and energy into this earth. It's just going to go up in a puff of smoke. 1 Peter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. See, this earth is just temporary. And again, going back to my father, and when he died, all of us boys got a few of his things. What happens to them? They have worn out. I told you before, some of the things that I had that I got from him were stolen. Things are just going to, they're corruptible. They aren't going to last. But we have this inheritance that's in heaven because this earth is not going to last. It's not going to last. Something else that people think is going to last forever, but it's just temporary, and that's Hades. Hades. And they confuse Hades with hell. Hades is temporary. Hell is eternal. Hell is eternal. Hades is the realm of the departed spirits. Hades will come to an end at judgment. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 and look at verse 12 and 13. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each according to his works. Hades is just a temporary place. It's going to give up its dead at the day of judgment. Jesus went to Hades in Acts 2:27, "For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." Luke 16, the account of the rich man and Lazarus, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Hades is that realm of the dead where the souls are held until the judgment. Until the judgment. 2 Peter 2:4, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." So if they are reserved, where are they? Are they in that final everlasting hell? No, they're in Hades. And Hades is temporary. It's temporary. One other thing to consider that is just temporary, and that's our life. You know, so many times we think we are invincible. We're going to last forever. When we're, especially when we're young, we don't think about dying, but we're only here on this earth for a brief period of time. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:24, "All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flowers fall away." You know, right now you drive around and you see with the rains the grass coming up, nice, fresh, green grass. You know, you blink your eyes a couple times and it's going to be fall. And what's that grass going to look like? It's going to be brown. It's going to be dead. That's what our life is compared to. It's just temporary. James tells us that life is like a vapor. "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Again, he's trying to describe the briefness of our life. As you see steam come out of a tea kettle, or you're outside on a cold morning and you speak, you say something, and that vapor comes out and it's gone. That's what our life is like. But you stop and think about how many people think they're going to live forever here on this earth. They think of their life without God. You see, I can think of several different sports figures. I don't follow sports, but just some of them stick out in my mind because some of these athletes are so proud and boastful and flat out arrogant and godless when they're young. And then you see them later in life and they're stooped over and can hardly walk or talk. And that's going to happen to all of us. Life is just temporary. Psalm 103:15, "As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes." What's going to happen after our life? Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So, friends, just to review some of the things that are temporary, the law of Moses, it was never intended to last forever. Christ came to fulfill it. The apostles, they were only temporary. They were not meant to last forever. They had a purpose. They came, they fulfilled the purpose. Spiritual gifts, miracles, they were only temporary. People think we still have them today. But we know we don't have them because we understand we don't have the apostles. we understand that was the only way that someone could get the power was by the laying on of the apostles' hands. Those people other than the apostles couldn't pass it on. That power is gone. The purpose for that power is gone. The word has been confirmed. The reign of Christ. Christ is not going to come back and set up an earthly kingdom and reign on this earth. When he comes back, he's not going to set up a kingdom. He set up the kingdom the first time he came. When he said to Peter, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. The kingdom was established on the day of Pentecost. When he comes back the second time, he's going to take the kingdom and deliver it up to heaven. This earth is not going to last forever. As real, as solid, as I don't know the words to use. It's just so obvious it exists. It's so big, but it's nothing. It's nothing. The mountains are going to crumble. The elements are going to fall apart. And you think about, I think sometimes about that fire when God comes back to destroy the earth. And I was talking this morning about building a fire in our fire pit yesterday. And there was a little rain. The wood was wet. But once I got that fire going, that fire was burning really nice. But you think about the water and the fire. And you think about this earth. 3/4 of it is covered with what? With water. With water. And in some places in the ocean is miles deep. I don't know how you could calculate how many gallons of water that is. But you think when Christ comes back with his mighty angels in flaming fire and they burn up this earth, that fire is going to be so intense that everything is going to melt. It's going to dissolve. And I can't say for certain, but when I think about that fire, I don't even want to think about the fire in hell, because that is going to be an unquenchable fire. That's going to be stronger than the fire that destroys this earth. Because it's going to be for all the souls that have disobeyed God, where God takes his justice out on them. Where that is something that is not temporary. That hellfire is going to be eternal. But Hades is temporary. If you're in torments, if you're in torments in Hades, if you're in paradise in Hades, that's just temporary, because we're going to go to the judgment and either claim our reward in heaven or again go to everlasting fire. And our life is just temporary. So when we think of all of these things that are temporary, when we think of this virus that everybody's talking about that's only temporary, what should we do? We should not be distracted by these things in the world that are temporary. Even some of them as big as the list that we looked at. They're just temporary. When we get through this virus, if we live long enough, there's going to be something else that comes along that everybody's talking about. It's just going to be temporary. So what should we do? We should not get distracted by these things, and we should look toward those things that are eternal. We should lay up treasures in heaven. We should build our faith in God. We should walk close to him, humble ourselves, try to get as close to him as we can. And when we get, as I said last week, God wants us to get so close to him that we lose sight of everything out here in the world. And when we get that close to God, all these temporary things, they're just going to be incidental. Friends, how are we doing with that? Are we focusing on God? Are we putting him first? Have we put God on in our lives? If there's anybody here this evening that wants to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.